Bob Bertog, the president of the Bertog Landscape Company. Hello, Mr. Bertog.
Hi, John. How are you doing this week?
Pretty good. What do we need to know now? It's a cooler day, but generally warmer weather is here. We've had some rain on the ground. What's the ballpark advice for everybody regarding their lawn and their landscaping right now, Bob?
Well, it's been a weird spring, to say the least. It came out of the gates really strong and warm and everything, and then cooled off, and now tonight they're talking about a possible frost again in the western suburbs. So just kind of sit it out, but the grass is growing and the fertilizer's kicking in, so it's almost time to start your weekly maintenance.
What does that mean?
Like it's going to come.
What's weekly maintenance?
Where the lawn is at a point now where it's going to start growing, where you're going to have to cut it once a week to keep it in check.
I was wondering, Bob, I had some new bushes and shrubs, all kind of different plants, some flowering things and whatnot, but things that come up every year. And now that I see that they're leafing out, some of them are a little not perfectly symmetrically shaped. And I was thinking, well, I'll go ahead and cut the branches back now to make it a nice oval or square or circle, whatever I want. Should I let them grow in more? Or should I cut them now?
Let them finish flushing out the growth. No need to do the work twice. And then you'll have a better idea of the shape of it. Because if you start cutting plants now while they're leafing out, you're injuring the plant. So the plant's going to say, okay, now I have an injury. Now I have to heal that. So I'm going to take the energy from pushing these leaves out on this side of the plant, and I'm going to go over here and heal this branch. So let it flush out. And then there's plenty of time still. Wait, don't cut any of your lilacs yet until they've completely flowered and died back and hardened off. Then you can prune them. Otherwise, you know, if you do things too soon, you'll cut the flowers for this year. If you do it too late, you're going to cut off the buds for next year. So we'll get to that in a couple of weeks when we should be doing that.
Okay, so maybe in late May, I'll shape it more. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, late May, June, middle of June, before the 4th of July.
Can you ask Bob, if I rototill my garden, will it harm the cicada grubs?
Well, they're at the surface, so you might not harm them, they might survive, but you'll definitely see them.
Yeah.
If you till your garden.
I'm not sure if this person wants to harm the cicada grubs or not.
No, it's hard to say.
Some of you would be happy to harm the cicada grubs, but it would turn the soil up. I guess you might cut them in half with the blade, but they'll probably survive being brought to the surface, I would imagine, right?
Correct. And I've seen people with gardens that are facing south where you have it's warmer, obviously, with the southern exposure, where you can see the exit holes from the ground. So they're crawling up the trees right now.
I was spading in the backyard, so it didn't have a lot of sun exposure, and I was digging up where we had some grass. We're going to put in a flower garden, and so I'm going down kind of deep, but not that deep. And with every spadeful, I have a little what looks like grub. It's a little curled up fat bug thing. Do you know what that is, Bob?
What color are they? Are they white?
Yes.
Then that could be the annual white grub, which is a larval of the Japanese beetle, typically, or it could be a larva of the mast chafer without identifying it completely. But it's a grub. They basically come up in the spring, they feed on grass roots, then they go back down, and then they emerge as adults in June and July. And then that's the Japanese beetle, then they eat all your roses, and then they go to lay eggs. Then you get the real grub infestation in the fall.
Well, right now,
the grass is growing so fast.
Yeah.
The grubs can't eat the grass roots fast enough because it's growing so quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my lawn's doing great, but I'm thinking if they're in this one spot, I'll bet they're under my whole lawn. So should I put something down to kill them?
Usually in the spring, it's not as important because you're going to put down an application in June. It's a preventative, which will give you a much longer window. And if you really want to check for them, cut out a piece of grass about a foot by a foot and count how many of them are in there. If there's more than a dozen, then you might have to treat now, but I doubt you're going to find more than a dozen.
Okay, but you said the longer life, that is, if do it in June and you'll be good for the rest of the year. Don't do it now because then you won't have the back half of the summer covered. Is that it?
That's correct, and then that's when they do the most damage is in the back half. But again, it's not a – I just want to preface this by saying it's not a cure-all. It's kind of like – getting the flu shot doesn't mean you're not going to get the flu. It doesn't mean you're not going to get any grubs. Some may make it through the barrier of the insecticide, but the population should be significantly lower than if you don't treat.
And that's just a separate application. That's not fertilizer. That's not weed and feed. That's not anything else. It's a separate grub control thing I'm going to put down?
They do have that, but the way I look at it, usually in June you want to be putting down more fertilizer anyway, so they have great combination products that have the insecticide. It's mixed in, it's impregnated on the fertilizer. So you're actually fertilizing and putting down the insecticide at the same time, because generally the insecticides, the prill is extremely small and dusty, so you're not getting great coverage. Whereas if you put it down with your fertilizer, you're going to get much better coverage and it's much more effective.
I'm sorry, so what was the answer to, is it a separate application of the stuff to kill the grubs, or do I get the kind of fertilizer that has it built in?
I prefer the combination product, and what, plus you're doing half the labor. You're only doing it once.
Yeah, okay.
And there's some great products on the market that are combination products of the insecticide with fertilizer.
Okay, shop accordingly. And that's an insecticide to get the grubs? That's what we're talking about?
Yes. Usually it's sold as a product that you'll see Merit, or there's a Celeprin, which is a scientific name for another type of insecticide.
Merit and Celeprin.
Just read the label. It'll tell you how long the
label is. I don't want to read the labels, Bob. Okay, as always, lots of questions for Bob Bertog from the Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling. Bob, you ready to answer more questions from our listeners?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Get a load of this. It says here on this one email, I appreciate that you have such great experts on your show, Terry Savage and now Bob Bertog back to back. And 309 says, I could listen to Bob B all day. How about that, Mr. Bertog?
I have no comment about if I'm that, if, I don't know. I guess I'm that exciting. I don't know.
You don't sound exciting. It says here from 708, should I fertilize an 18-year-old Japanese maple? Fertilize an 18-year-old Japanese maple tree.
It's certainly not going to hurt it.
Okay.
Definitely, I put it in around the drip line, and typically you use like a root feeder, and they come with capsules, and you can put it in there, and then the fertilizer goes into the root zone.
Bob, I've got some just shrubs, like a hedgerow up my sidewalk to my front porch, and it's kind of nice. It kind of frames the house and the sidewalk as you walk up. I've owned that house for 4 years, and I've never done anything except trim them each year. And I'm wondering, should I ever fertilize those sorts of shrubs, you know, those hedges that lead up my sidewalk?
Absolutely, because on the one side of the plant, you have to realize that those roots are just fighting with concrete. So they're going to, if you can give them a supplemental feeding, it's definitely going to help.
I never thought about that. Feeding, you know, fertilize the lawn. I never thought about fertilizing those things. I guess that's a different kind of fertilizer. I got to figure out what those bushes are and then get the specific kind.
Yeah, because evergreen versus deciduous are going to, they'll require different fertilizers. There are some just general overall plant fertilizers that you can use. Just, it depends what you're feeding.
Phil,
you know what you're feeding. Know the plant.
Okay. Let's feed Phil. You're on WGN. Hi, Phil. What can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hi, John. Hi, Bob.
Hey. My
Creeping Charlie seems to be blooming a little earlier this year. I'm a little confused when I should put on the killer, and what should I put on?
Yeah, everybody's noticing that, Phil. What about that there, Bobby?
Yeah, the Creeping Charlie is starting to rear its ugly head, and then you want to put down a selective herbicide that's labeled for either Creeping Charlie or ground ivy, and it should knock it out. But this is, again, that hard-to-control weed where you spray it now, and you'll knock it back, and then go back and spot spray just those areas of Creeping Charlie in 2 weeks and hit it again.
You got to do it twice, 2 weeks apart. You got that there,
yep.
Phil?
I got it. I'll be on it. Thank you.
Good luck to you. Lisa Dent wants everybody to get on their hands and knees and pull them out root by root to manually extricate them, which I guess if you had a small enough patch in a small enough area, you could do, right, Bob?
You could, but ground ivy grows on rhizomes, and for you to think you're going to get the whole thing, you're not. It's just going to come back. And that's why you want to put on a herbicide that's going to translocate back to the root zone.
Bob, you're on WGN Radio with Bob Bertog. Hi, Bob. How can we help you?
I have two questions. The first is, on my back lawn, I have some yellow patches.
You got a
and
dog?
I do not have a dog.
Yeah. What about that, Bob?
That could just be either slowly evolving out of dormancy, or there could be some snow mold, although I didn't see that much of that this year. again, without seeing it exactly up close to what the blade of the leaf blade looks like to see if there's a disease, although none of those have really shown anything yet. I'd let it just finish flushing out, give it another couple weeks, then you might want to top dress and seed it.
What's your next question, sir?
I have wild roses that grow like crazy next to the driveway, but they don't bloom and have flowers.
Are you sure they're roses?
Well, they've been told, they're wild roses that just grow.
Do they have thorns on the side?
I didn't plant them. They just grow and prosper, and you have to cut them back.
But if you're going to do that, you'd like to see some flowers there. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they used to have flowers in a different location, but in this location next to the drive, they don't have flowers.
Bobby, any advice for him on that?
It sounds like it might not be getting enough sunlight.
Okay. So get some more sunlight. Or maybe they're just not going to prosper in that location. There's nothing you can do about it. Is that it, Bob?
That's true, too, yes.
Okay. Marilyn's got a question. Good luck, Bob. Marilyn, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hey, thank you for everything you do. My lawn question is, I have a very lumpy backyard, and I had the whole lot aerated. I also have voles. Are they connected?
Yeah, I wonder about that.
The voles will, a natural predator is going to find the voles, and those will be gone shortly because the owls and the blackbirds will take those away. But the reason it's bumpy, probably through the winter, you had the voles in the winter, and they created the tunnels that have created the bumpiness. So core aeration is a good thing to do. I would go, double past opposite directions. And then to get rid of some of the lumps, the thing to do, you can top dress the areas, help fills in those voids.
I got a whole 2 yards of dirt delivered to my house, and I just wheelbarrowing it around, filling in the holes, just kind of spreading it on my lawn, raked it around. Now I got the brown dirt, but I would imagine in time, pardon me, soil, but I imagine...
I was just going to correct you on that. It's not dirt.
I would imagine in time the grass will just grow up through that dirt that I'm... soil that I'm putting on there, right, Bob?
You're 100% correct. That's the right way to do it.
Oh, and by the way, you should know this, Bob. I'm going to say dirt all season long, just so you know.
And I'll correct you.
That's Bob Bertog. He's the president of the Bertog Landscaping Company. I hope you can join us next week, Bob.
I will be there.